This week's Parsha is Parshas Dvarim. And Parshas Dvarim is the beginning of a speech. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to complete his career. He's led the Jews for 40 years. He's gone through two generations. There was a generation that left Egypt. Ultimately, they have several, unfortunately, very significant failings, worshipping the golden calf, and then eventually the sin of the spies, where the spies say the land isn't a good land, God doesn't want to give us the land, he wants us all to die trying to get the land. And so that generation was set and left in the desert for 40 years. They had to die out, and their children would be the ones who would enter the land of Israel. And then Moshe, at the end of these 40 years, Moshe has his own failing, the failing of the hitting of the rock, or maybe not believing in God sufficiently at that moment. And so Moshe can't enter the land, and now Sefer Dvarim and Parshas Dvarim is really the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. It's already the month of Shvat. Moshe is going to die in the month of Adar. He's got a month to live, 37 days to be precise. And Moshe gives a speech, Eila Dvarim Asher Diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe gives to the Jewish people. And in this Parsha, it's really one long speech. It goes through the whole book. Moshe tells the Jewish people his last will and testament, his ethical will and testament. This is an old Jewish practice that at the end of a great person's life, he puts down as a legacy some basic points that he wants his children or his students to remember. I have a beautiful book at home. It's called Tzava'as Tzadik. It's a collection of such ethical wills. And they're very, very beautiful, very powerful. For example, there's one rabbi in Yerushalayim. His name was Rav Baruch Moshe Nechemya Kahanov. So in his will, he wrote that he asks all of his students and all of his descendants that on his yard site, they should learn Mishnayos in his memory, and they should give tzedakah in his memory, and that they should, in general, they should learn Mishnayos by heart, because you never know, you might be located in a place without books. So if you know the Mishnah by heart, you'll be able to learn. Or Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, in his will, very beautiful will, he writes to his children, he says, you know, I've done a lot in my life, I've been very busy, but I only want to tell you one thing. I ask of you one request. I don't ask for money. I don't ask that you do anything other than this one thing, and that is that you always love each other, and you always be nice to each other, and that the family be connected. That's my lasting will and testament. I saw recently a relative of mine wrote in his will that he's so thankful to God for saving him from the Holocaust and so many difficulties. And most of all, he's thankful that the Almighty has blessed him. His descendants are also Torah observant, and he hopes that all of his descendants will be Torah observant. And he wants to give his descendants advice, his children advice. They should study from one Tanakh. In other words, they should have one book, and they should keep going back to it, because that way they'll remember it. If today they use one book, and tomorrow they use a different Tanakh, and the next day another Tanakh, it'll be less easier to remember. They should also study when they're young, and they should study out loud. These are, you know, important, lasting principles. So, lahavdil, to distinguish, Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Parsha begins his last will and testament. And in essence, he talks to the Jewish people. He reviews a lot of their history since they've left Egypt. He talks about their failures. He talks about their sins. And he is conveying a message. You're going to the land of Israel. Don't do it again. Here it's not going to be the same as it was in the desert. And he's also conveying another message. God has protected you and forgiven you despite all of your sins. So you go to the land of Israel. Don't worry. Even if you sin, God will also forgive you. And During the midst of this conversation, there's one theme that keeps coming up. Don't worship idols. Moshe says it again and again throughout the book of Dvarim. Don't worship idols. Don't do it. Serve Hashem. And many other mitzvot are also reviewed and mentioned again. It's interesting that the name of the parsha is Dvarim. What does the word Dvarim mean, literally?
Things.
Things, words. Words, things. Dvarim. Words. Right. Diburim. Diburim really would be words, but Dvarim also is related to words. So why is it that there's such an emphasis on words? You know, really the whole book is the book of Dvarim, the book of words. So the Midrash has a very beautiful comment here. Says the Midrash. You can read it from the Midrash inside. Said God, see the language of Torah? How beloved it is. It heals the tongue. As it says in Proverbs, Mar pe lashon eitz chayim. What heals the tongue? The tree of life. What is the tree of life? Torah. As we say, whenever we put the Torah scroll back into the ark, we sing, Eitz Chayim Hi. It is a scroll, it is a tree of life. L'machazikim ba, to those who hold on to it. And yet we have another verse in Proverbs, Mar Pe Lashon, it heals the tongue. Eitz Chayim, the tree of life, the Torah heals the tongue. In the language of Torah frees the tongue. How do we know this? In the future, God will produce wonderful trees in the Garden of Eden. And what is their wonder? They'll heal the tongue. And Midrash quotes another verse to this, that the tongues are going to be healed by the trees. How do we know this? Where do we have a source for this? The source is Moshe Rabbeinu. Before Moshe had the Torah, go back to Parsha Shmos. Hashem tells Moshe, go redeem the Jewish people. Go tell Paro, let the Jews go. What does Moshe say? Lo ish dvar manochi. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a man of words. But now that he has the Torah, his tongue has been healed. And so now he is an ish dvarim. How do we know he's an ish dvarim? This week's parsha. This sefer. Eila hadvarim asher dibur Moshe. These are the dvarim that Moshe said. So the Midrash is very beautiful and also obviously enigmatic. The Midrash says, Torah heals the tongue. Torah heals language. We know it from a verse, Mar Pe Lashon Eitz Chaim. What heals the tongue is the tree of life. The tree of life is Torah. And the source really for that is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not a man of words. That was before he had the Torah, before Sinai. It was when he was still out in the desert with the sheep of Yithro. But once he had the Torah, he says, these are the words that Moshe speaks. Now he's a man of words. See what Torah can do. Torah can transform a person. That's the Midrash. So let's see what the Shem Yishmuel says here on this Midrash. The Midrash Rabbah is on page Vav. Mar Pe Lashon Eitz Chaim. The healing of the tongue is the tree of life. Moshe shelo zacha l'Torah k'siv be'elo ish dvar manochi. Moshe, before he merited Torah, says, I'm not a man of words. Kevan shezacha l'Torah, once he merited Torah, nisrape l'shono, his tongue was healed, and he started to say words, minayin, as we know, it says, Eila dvarim asher diber Moshe. So, Hashem Yishmuel asks an obvious question. At what point in history are we talking here? What year of Moshe's life? 40th year of his life. Parshas Dvarim. It's the last month of his life. It's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. That's when he begins his speech. He's going to die 37 days later on the 7th of Adar.
120th year.
Yes, 120th year of his life. It's the 40th year since they've left Egypt. Moshe's been around leading the Jewish people for 40 years. So now he's been healed. He's been healed when he came down from Sinai. For 40 years he's been teaching Torah. Why is it suddenly now that we say, oh, he's healed, now he's a man of words? Till now he wasn't. Yesh lahavin. Lamalo Dieka Midrash. Why didn't the Midrash infer earlier? Shinisrapi Lishono, that his ability to speak was healed. Bimesh Amar Kala Torah Kula Adhena. For the fact that he said the whole Torah till this point. Shamar Kamapam Vayadaber Moshe. It says many times that Moshe spoke. Dibur. Or God tells Moshe, Dabir El Bnei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people. What do you mean, Dabir? Moshe is not a man of Diburim. He's not a man of Dvarim. But apparently he was healed from Torah. So why didn't the Midrash teach that earlier? And we can add another question. Why now, when they're about to enter the land of Israel, is it necessary to teach us this question, this point? Now we need to know that Moshe is a man of words. Now he has to be a man of words. Earlier, not. So the Shem Yishmuel says something very important. Hinei Kfar Kasavnu, we've written, B'Shem HaMaharal, in the name of the Maharal. Shekvedus HaPeh, Lo Haisa Giraon LeMoshe. The Maharal says, Moshe's inability to speak easily, Moshe's being heavy of tongue, his speech impediment, was not because of any type of deficiency. It was because of the greatness of Moshe. How so? Basher koach hadibur ba mikoach harkavas guf v'nefesh. Speech is a very, very special institution. It's a very beautiful and famous comment of the Unkelus in his translation of the Torah. In Parshas Bereishis, the Torah says that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living spirit. Unkelus says, living spirit means man had the ability to speak. Man became a spirit that speaks. There's something special about speech. Only human beings speak. Animals don't speak. Birds don't speak. The ability of speech is what is uniquely human. Man has a unique soul that's expressed by his power of speech. Because, explains the Maharal, man is a union of body and soul. The other animals, they may have life, but they don't have soul. They have something which gives them life, but it's not the same thing as the soul. They don't have the union of body and soul. Man has the union of body and soul. Speech is the connection of the body with the soul. The intellect, which is what touches at the soul, working through the organs of the mouth, and the jaw, and the teeth, and the throat, and the chest. That's speech. Speech is a union of body and soul. It's a combination of body and soul. It's the quintessential human. The essence of a human is to unite body and soul. That's the greatness of a human, the uniqueness of a human, that he unites body and soul. Says the Maharal, Bashir Koach Hadibur Bami Koach Harkavasku Fenefesh. Since the power of speech comes from the union of body and soul, Shari Behema Vatinok Bashir Einlem Koach Hanefesh, since an animal and children, young children, they don't have the same level of soul, they can't speak because they have mostly body. Vechena Nefesh Levado. Or if you have a soul on its own, enim yicholim ledaber, soul without a body can't speak. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom. So Moshe, Basher Haisa Nafsho Nivdelas. Moshe was a person who was divorced from this world. He was almost all soul. He was mostly soul and very little body. So his soul was hardly in his body. Einana mitba'as beguf. The soul wasn't really in the body. It was beyond the body. Akin hayakvad peh. So it was hard for him to speak. Maharal is saying something very special. We can understand it on our terms. To speak, a person has to have thoughts. He has to translate those thoughts or express those thoughts through his body. Some people, their thoughts are way beyond where their body is. They think very, very quickly. Their body doesn't move as quickly. They have a speech impediment. They stutter. Because the soul, their soul is beyond their body. It's to some degree divorced from their body. Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavdil, his soul was so soulful, and he identified his essence as being his soul. He was almost disconnected from his body, so it was hard for him to speak. Because to speak, you have to have a harmonious melding and blending and merging of body and soul. Moshe was so much soul, he was so little body, he had a very hard time speaking. So it's not a deficiency in Moshe, it's a greatness of Moshe. That he was so soulful, he was so connected to God, that he was so attached to that soul, that the body was so neglected, as it were, or so far behind that, that he couldn't speak so easily. But the Midrash now says that once he had Torah, he could speak. So how did Torah change things? He answers the Shem Yishmor. Kasavnu sham, shemeachar shezacha l'Torah. Once Moshe merited Torah, nizdakich gufo yosemi malachi asharis. When Moshe merited Torah, it wasn't just something for his soul. Torah transformed his body as well. Through the Torah, Moshe's body became holy. It became sanctified. It became even holier than the holiness of angels. So now Moshe could speak. Because now there was a union of body and soul. Not because the soul had been lowered to the level of body. The body had been elevated to the level of soul. Through the Torah, the body of Moshe was transformed into a spiritual entity, like his soul. And so now the soul could express itself through such a holy body. Such a holy body could be unified with such a holy soul and express itself. Okay, and at that point, lo haya giron la nefesh li'sachid im aguf, it would not have been in any way a misfortune or a deficiency for the soul to unite with such a body. So through this, the ability of speech was perfected. So that's what we've explained before, the Shem Yishmol says. Now, asks the Shem Yishmol. The Maharal says that the soul on its own can't speak. It should be challenged from Gemaros. The Gemara talks about dead bodies talking to each other, or dead people talking to each other. Not dead bodies, dead souls. For example, there's the story of the Gemara in Brachos about a man whose wife gets angry with him and she kicks him out of the house. Doesn't have a place to sleep. It's right before Rosh Hashanah, so he goes to sleep in the graveyard and he hears two dead spirits talking to each other. And one says, you know, I heard from behind the curtain in heaven that now it's not a good time to plant, even though now it's the rainy season is coming, it's better to plant this year in the second rainy season. So what does the man do? He doesn't plant the first rainy season, he only plants during the second rainy season, he becomes very rich. So he goes back the next year again, and he hears the whole conversation, and he finds out that this year the time to plant is the first rainy season. So he plants during the first rainy season. His wife says to me, how do you know everything? So he said, you know, every year I go to the cemetery. I hear the spirits talking to each other. So she says, tell me the whole story. Tell me what they said. So he tells them that they had this discussion. And it turns out that one of the spirits was so poor that he was buried without proper shrouds. He was buried in a carpet, in a sort of a mat. Machatzelas. So he tells her this was all part of the conversation. He tells it all to his wife. So the next year already, his wife got into a fight with the wife of one of these people who were buried there. And in the midst of the fight, she said, you know, your husband's not even buried with proper shrouds. He's buried with a curtain. So the next year he goes to the cemetery and the spirits say, you know, now we can't talk because the secret's out. It's a whole Gemara. So the Shem Yishmol asks, how does it happen? According to the Maharal, the spirit without a body can't talk. So how did this chassid hear all these conversations from these spirits? How did that happen? Or, even furthermore, we find that the angels don't have a body. What we say every day in davening about the angels. V'kara zel zev yamar. One angel will call to the other and say. Aval apirish apashut.
skipping the brackets. The simple explanation is Sha'af sha'nefesh ba'atzma yesh la dibur. Apparently a soul does have the ability to speak. Hu rak nishma l'nefesh kemosa. A soul can only speak to another soul. A soul can speak, but only another soul can hear it. Angels, v'kara zel zeh, one calls to the other. One angel can talk to another angel, but a human being can't understand the angel. A human being can't hear the angel. Because a human being is in a body, and the angel is all soul compared to my body. So I can't comprehend soul if I'm body. That's why the translation is one will call to the other, one will receive from the other. Because the fact that one is an angel, that's why he can understand what the other angel is saying. Dibur shel malachi ashares hu ba'achas al bnei adam hu ba'achas mishtei ela. So how do the angels speak to people? In one of two ways. Osha shomea hu navi. Either the one who's hearing is a prophet. Ube'es nevuaso nafsho muvdelas mehaguf. And during the moment of his prophecy, his soul is beyond his body. V'nisbatel koachu sheaguf. And the force of the senses of the body is reduced, as the Rambam says. V'shuv shomea adibur b'chelkei nafsho levad, and he hears the speech with his soul. Osho hamalach mislabesh b'levushkuf, or the angel actually enters into a body. Kinyan hamalachim anirim livnei adam k'mo shekasav haRamban. The Ramban says sometimes angels are seen to people because angels can enter bodies. So now says the Shem Yishmuel something very brilliant. Once we've established that it's not that a soul can't communicate, it's that a soul can't communicate to a body, but a soul can communicate to soul. That to communicate, to understand, there has to be a certain parity, there has to be a certain equality, there has to be a certain common denominator for me to understand somebody else. According to this, we can understand why Moshe didn't need to have the ability of speech till now. Till now, Moshe was leading which generation? The generation that left Egypt. The generation of the desert. The generation of the desert is termed by our sages as Dor Dea, the generation of understanding, the generation of knowledge. Ba'asher Haya Dor Dea, since they were the generation of understanding. V'achar Shekiblu Satora Nasu Mizuchachim. Understanding is very elevated. It's the mind. These were people on mind. These were very great people. And once they received the Torah, their bodies also were elevated, just as Moshe's body was, as the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says. V'hayu b'madreigas ha-nefesh. They were people of soul. Al kein hayu yicholim l'kabel ha-dibur mi-Moshe. Afim lo hayo l'shono misrapi. So they could actually understand Moshe, even if he wasn't healed, because they were soul like he was soul. But now it's a new generation. Ikar haraya shenisrape l'shono, the proof that his tongue has been healed. But now it's a new generation receiving from him. It's a generation that's about to enter the land of Israel. The generation that's about to enter the land of Israel is not a generation of all soul. It's a regular generation. It's a generation of body. That they can understand the Moshe. You see, the Torah has healed his tongue. Zehu inyan sefer Mishneh Torah. This is what's so special about this book, Mishneh Torah. I think what the Shem Yishmuel is saying here is that to enter the land of Israel, you can't be all soul. To enter the land of Israel, you have to actually be a person who has a healthy body. And a body that hasn't been elevated to the level of soul. The generation of the desert was not a generation that could enter the land of Israel, ultimately. In other words, one can suggest that the depth of the sin of the spies was that the spies were people of the generation of the desert. They were people who were used to man, to clouds of glory, to Moshe Rabbeinu, the idea of going into a country and fighting and building. I'm for the Beis Medrash. This is not for me. I can't do that. But that's what the land of Israel requires. The land of Israel requires a generation that's not only going to be a generation of Torah and Tefillah and Nevuah, but people of Guf, people of body. Moshe is all Torah. Moshe is from the generation of the desert. That Moshe can communicate with this generation, that Moshe can translate his pure spirituality into the language that the physical mind can grasp and accept and learn, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. It's so hard to translate the spiritual into the physical, to the degree that the physical can accept it and will accept it. There's so many challenges in that transition from the spiritual to the physical. There's so many challenges. And that's what Mishneh Torah is all about. This is the book of words. Words, communication, the ability of Moshe to communicate to the next generation. The ability for the next generation to hear and to understand, the generation which is rooted in its body. It's not all soul. For it to be able to understand messages of soul and to translate them to the body so that the body gets it, that's an unbelievable accomplishment. That's what's so special. That's what's needed to conquer the land of Israel. To prepare for the land of Israel, you have to be able to take spiritual concepts and be able to transform them and to recast them while maintaining their integrity, into a vehicle, into a lesson, into a sentence that our body can understand, internalize, and emulate. That's what's so necessary. That's the book of Mishneh Torah. That's the great chiddush here. That's one explanation of the Shem Yishmor. To me, you know, every time I go to Israel, that's what really comes home to me, how people, there's so many people in Israel that are actualizing and translating into life the wonderful principles of Torah. I'll give an example. I met someone there, very interesting person. He has a hedge fund. He's a ger chassid. He's never gone to school. I'm not even sure he finished high school. But he always used to study stocks and pick stocks and invest in stocks. So he has a hedge fund from overwhelmingly from people who've invested with him. And he invests in the market, he invests in funds. Thank God he does well. But that's not all he does. Every morning he spends 4 hours in the morning learning in a kollel. And this kollel, they've developed, they're trying to follow a suggestion as to how to memorize all of Shas. The proposal is that research shows that if you review something within 24 hours of when you learnt it, that increases your probability of remembering it. If you then review it a third time within a week, then a fourth time within 39 days, and a fifth time within 130 days, your likelihood of remembering increases quite dramatically. So the schedule of learning, of reviewing everything according to this pattern. So you learn Daf Aleph on Sunday. You learn Daf Beis on Sunday. On Monday you learn Daf Beis and Daf Gimel, because you have to review what you did the last 24 hours. And then, you know, by the next week you're doing already three blot Daf to review, and you're increasing these reviews. Eventually, over a span of 8 years, you finish Shas, I think, 12 times. And then after that, once you've gone through it all 12 times, based on this process of constantly reviewing, 4 to 12 times, depending on how many times you review, so then you start doing 7 blot a day. If you do 7 blot a day, you can finish Shas every year. So the idea is that once you've done it five times, between 4 to 12 times, then you're doing it every year, so you'll keep remembering it for the rest of your life. So he has such a kollel, which he primarily supports, and he learns in it. And he writes tests in this kollel for the members of the kollel on these blot that they're doing. Then he does his business for I don't know how many hours a day. And then the rest of the day, he's spending it running a network of volunteers. He has about 300 volunteers throughout the country who are trying to give people financial advice. People are in heavy debt, trying to give them advice, how to write up balance sheets, to figure out how much their income is, how much their expenses are, how to reduce expenses, increase income, giving businesses advice, how to manage businesses in a better way. And he has a gemach, he has a free loan society with about $3 million of assets that they're giving loans to these people. Once they commit to a plan and they show that they can do this plan of improving their lives, so then I'll give them a loan. This is what he does. So it's very beautiful that this is the way a person is going to spend his life. He's learning, he's doing business, he's doing chesed, and each one of these is obviously a job. You know, he's not learning because he enjoys it. It's nice, it's pleasure. You know, this is kavata itum latorah. Do you establish times for Torah every day, 4 hours a day? And then his chesed. I mean, this is his job. He's running these volunteers. He's getting people to help other people. It's that's one person. You go throughout the country, you meet so many people who are embodying so many principles. You talk about faith. So you can read a Chovas Halvavos, and the Chovas Halvavos says a person who has faith trusts God. You read the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says a person can measure how much faith he has. Does he get nervous? If he doesn't get nervous, he knows he has a lot of faith. If he's getting nervous because of nature, so there's room to improve the amount of faith that a person has. You go to Israel, you meet a person moving into an Arab village, and he's going to live among 70,000 Arabs to try to liberate the land of Israel. I mean, he's living faith. This is not just a spiritual concept of the Beis Medrash. He's living it. He's actualizing it. He's bringing it into the physical realm, that his body can understand it, that his body will accept it. And the same way, it's such a challenge to do that. It's such a great challenge to try to take the spiritual concepts and bring them to a way that the body can understand. It's a challenge that only a Moshe Rabbeinu who's healed from Torah can do. It's very hard to communicate from the soul to the body, that the body can understand the soul is extremely difficult. It's very hard to settle the land of Israel. It's very hard to actualize these values. But then you have the privilege, you meet people there, they're doing it. That's Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah is the transition from Sinai to Moriah, from the desert to the land of Israel. And that's the transition of taking the spiritual and bringing it into the physical, to the point that the physical gets it, that the physical lives according to these spiritual mandates, that the spiritual concepts become part and parcel, that the body gets it, the body lives it. It's not just the concept, it's life, it's reality. This is the reality of life. O Yesh Lomar, or we can say, another explanation the Shem Yishmol says, why now Moshe Rabbeinu is healed? Shebechol haTorah harei haisa Shechina midaberes mitoch grono. Till this point, the Shechina spoke through Moshe's mouth. Rak Mishneh Torah, but now Sefer Dvarim, Moshe mipi atzmo amara. Moshe says it himself. Kanireh shebeMishneh Torah lo haisa Shechina midaberes mitoch grono. Apparently here the Shechina wasn't talking through his mouth. That's what the Ramban also says. So Mishneh Torah, the Avni Nezer said, is the middle between the written Torah and the oral Torah. The oral Torah is produced by the sages, and it's in their language, it's their ideas, it's what their mind tells them. The written Torah is dictated by God. It's God's words. Mishneh Torah is in between the oral Torah and the written Torah. It's a little bit like the oral Torah, it's a little bit like the written Torah. It's in the middle. Mishneh Torah wasn't exactly dictated by God. So that's why here, for Moshe to say these words, you see that Moshe's tongue has been healed. For example, we find with Amos. The prophet Amos was Amos Bilashono, that he used to stammer. And that's why his language of prophecy also is stammering. Boker anochi ubolesh kamim. He's missing words. But Moshe and Sefer Dvarim, it reads very well. It's very clear. It's not God dictating it. It's Moshe saying it. Obviously, Moshe's been healed. Now you see that Moshe's been healed. Because Moshe is saying it. That's what the Shem Yishmol says. It's the second answer. Okay. Stop here.